Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for coming to tonight's Comic Book Club. And now, here are your hosts, Pete LePage, Justin Tyler, and Alex Delver.
Hey!
Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And that's our man of the booth, Booth Man.
Booth Man.
Hey, guys, exciting fact we just learned. Justin and I, our birthdays are 2 weeks apart.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, we've been doing this show for 7 years now.
It's a real testament to the limited amount of personal information we share with each other. It's just great. We've learned so much.
Yeah.
I just learned Pete and I are actually brothers. Surprise.
Wow. And married.
I know. Well, yeah, that's
and I'm 106 years old.
Well, we all knew that.
Yeah. All right.
Let's be honest.
Yeah. So, guys, first of all, happy V for Vendetta Day.
Yeah.
Remember the 5th of November.
Yep. Great news, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And, of course, as we know, that's really... Guy Fawkes Day?
Yeah.
It's Guy Fieri Day.
It's
Guy Fieri Day.
He set Parliament on fire with his bold spices.
Yeah. Exactly. It was
Did you guys wear your Fieri masks to his American kitchen?
Always. I frosted my tips. For those of you not here, my tips are frosted as fuck right now.
Wow. Yeah, he's not talking about his hair either. High five, birthday buddy.
I don't know what you mean by that.
Okay.
Hey, we should...
Are you saying you have a frosted... Dick tip? Is that what you were referencing?
Anything goes on the 5th of November. That's what Alan Moore said.
Oh, man. Hey, we should start the show.
He just took his name off this opening bit.
Guys, I'm very excited about the guest that we have returning to the show tonight. He's the writer of tomorrow's Long Shot Saviors of the Marvel Universe. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Hastings!
Yeah, welcome, sir. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hello. Thank you for coming on the show, sir. All right. Chris... Let's get right into it. Let's talk about Longshot Saves the Marvel Universe.
All right.
Big, huge event comic coming out starting
so
tomorrow.
Huge.
Cross it over with everything, right?
It actually, yeah, I kind of had my pick of any guest stars and all guest stars that I wanted.
Wow.
Did you?
Yeah, it was nice.
Was there anybody they said you absolutely could not have for this book?
There were a few, yeah. I wasn't allowed to... I'm not sure who I'm allowed to say... Well, everything I wasn't allowed to use were
well,
because
just
they're popping
check.
Up in other
Is your
stuff.
Editor here, or is he in Disney World?
Oh, he's at Disney World.
Oh, so you can say whatever.
Go to town.
Oh, he'll right. never hear about this.
Yeah, he'll never... He doesn't listen.
I wasn't allowed to use Galactus.
Okay.
I wanted to have him be the bad guy that Longshot goes against. Because he'd have to get really lucky to defeat Galactus.
Sure. Extra lucky. Because Galactus is lucky, too.
Sure is.
He doesn't. No one talks
lucky
about
and
it.
Love.
I'd like to see Galactus in a mask, like sort of in disguise, going up against something.
Like a big mustache or something?
Something where he's like, no!
I'd like 5 billion pizzas, please.
I'm just a little hungry.
I'd like 2 tickets to 12 Years a Slave, please.
Wow. Very topical.
Yeah, he's actually 12.
Yeah, no.
So let's
Wait,
talk
what?
About...
Is that a young person's movie? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know what I'm
He's
saying.
Trying to sneak into the theater because it's R-rated.
Thank you. Yeah, there you go.
I know all the tweens out there are dying to see the 12 Years a Slave experience.
Yeah. You know,
the full 3D.
In IMAX, you gotta check it out.
Great 3D experience.
That's the crazy thing. The Lincoln Square Theater, which is the best IMAX, you got to buy tickets in advance so you're not going to get to see 12 Years a Slave in 3D.
Yeah, that's bullshit, everybody.
I think the audience is really enjoying this bit.
Yeah.
So, anyway, talking about your comic, what's the basic idea other than the title?
Other than the title? Jordan White, editor.
Jordan D. White.
Jordan D. White, editor extreme. He's very lucky.
Mm-hmm.
And so he just said, let's have him save the Marvel Universe. You can just come up with the most impossible thing for him to try to beat and then make up lucky reasons how he gets through it.
That's quite a challenge.
Really, you're really letting us behind the curtain with that.
So who is he going to go up against? Can you tell us?
I mean, you could probably figure it out from any previews online, but it's the in-betweener.
Nice. That dude, you never know what he's going to do.
He goes one way or the other.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Cool. Are you going to get to? Are we going to get to see a little long shot Dazzler action?
They're.
Whoa, that was
I love
really
how that's
real
your burning
creepy.
Question there.
Hey, this has all been fun, but hey, is he going to fuck? Is he going to fuck?
Seriously,
Dazzler?
Talk about what's
the deal with Dazzler?
I didn't ask if they were going to fuck. That was the subtext. But
yeah, I know.
Thank you for bringing it to the surface.
I'm here to be sort of your conscience. I'm your Jiminy Cricket in a lot of ways.
That's why you were bored 2 weeks earlier. You have so much more life experience.
Exactly. I'm more than you're a year, many years older than me. Before you say I'm 2 weeks younger than you,
let's let him answer the question.
I'd rather not. I think this is far more interesting for our audience.
We're informing our audience about how old Alex Zalvin is.
Yes. Just write us at comicbookclublive@gmail.com. Let us know if you'd rather hear about comics of the future or birthdays, and we'll address previous shows.
Anyway.
Yeah, please.
Who's luckier, Domino or Longshot?
Longshot
is luckier. Yeah. Although their luck powers work under different circumstances,
because hers come when the really like in a scrape.
Yes,
and his just work all the time.
His work all the time, but I think if they were to fight each other, Longshot would win because he would be because his luck is powered by his altruism, and she's sort of self-involved, I guess.
All right, what about Longshot and Black Cat? Would they cancel each other out?
I don't know how Black Cat's powers work.
Hers seem very weak. Hers are like, oh, wow, I got away with it again.
They just kind of make Spider-Man clumsy, right?
Yeah, and kiss. They make Spider-Man's clumsy and kissy.
That's what happens when I'm clumsy.
You fall. You trip and fall into a kiss?
I just start kissing people.
Oh, man.
That's adorable.
You're like a real Tom Hanks, Meg Ryan.
This is actually a great chance to plug Boothman's new movie, Clumsy in Love.
Yeah, I know. It's really great. I can't wrote, directed, star. Just what a power.
I even wrote the music.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's just me making
musical.
It's just me making kissy noises for 2 hours.
So check that out at the Lincoln Square IMAX as soon as 12 Years a Slave clears out.
I know. I love that you shot it in 3D, by the way. Man, really smart move.
Chris, I want to ask,
we're not done with Clumsy and Love.
Yeah, I think we are. When someone calls you like that out of the blue, do you freak out? You're like, oh, God, how soon do I need this? Were you kind of like... Did you have, five different ideas? Hey,
did you just grow a beard by accident?
Yeah. what was the process like a little bit?
I still haven't answered if Longshot screws Dazzler or not.
Yeah.
That's a question we avoid because it fucks Alex's, life up.
Yeah. He doesn't. Anyway.
so I guess you still have a chance. Congrats.
Cool. I don't want to interrupt again, but I wrote the definitive Dazzler romance issue where Dazzler went on a date with the Hulk. And so as
There's
we can all agree,
nothing definitive
Hulk,
about your issue.
Well, I'm just saying they're kind of meant for each other, Bruce Banner and Dazzler. So if Longshot was going to get in the middle again,
your definition of meant for each other is a little ridiculous.
It was in a whole 8 pages of story.
Let me be honest, it was undazzling.
Boom. Can I use that for the cover?
Can we?
Yeah, please.
Came out 5 years ago.
Well, you never know what's going to go viral.
Can we get back to the real author over here, please? The real writer. Someone who's actually written stuff.
Shit, that's a real mean one.
Right, so I still remember your question.
Cool.
Good.
Yeah.
That's the hardest part about being on this show.
Mentally, I definitely freaked out. On the phone. I was at an airport. I was like, oh, yeah, totally. Sounds great. If you could just send me any issues he's been in just so I can catch up, that would be really great. I didn't know who Longshot was when I got the job.
You're like, yes, I can do a long slob, a long slob series. No problem.
Long slob, I love long slob.
He's great. He messes everything up.
Jordan was like, do you know what his deal is? I was like, he has probability altering power.
Yeah, you're reading off the Marvel Masterworks card in your hand. Yeah. Oh, and his endurance is very strong, very high. Excellent.
He has four fingers. I didn't know that then, actually.
He has four fingers?
Yeah.
Did you originally write the entire series for a five-finger guy?
Yeah. Oh, no.
And then you had to change all the dialogue.
Yeah, exactly.
We did have to correct some of the
artwork.
Give me four.
Oh, boy.
Right?
That's such a mid-October joke to make.
Can we just let this guy talk, please?
Yeah.
For the love of
literally
God.
Literally never.
We have him on the show, and then you guys won't shut the fuck up.
We haven't seen each other in a number of weeks.
It was just their birthdays and Halloween.
Yeah. Stop talking to them, please.
Speaking of which, how much candy did you guys get last
week? Oh, my God.
A ton. Give me four. Anyway.
Please, for the love of God, finish a sentence.
So he
has four fingers.
You're trying to get out of the country. And
I was trying to get into the country.
Oh, you were?
I was in Toronto.
Oh, okay.
Holy shit.
Was that fucked up?
That's a fucked up place.
Yeah, you know, Rob Ford was smoking crack.
Oh,
and
he just admitted that today.
Next to me.
Yeah. He's at the airport trying to get people high, right?
Yeah, right, all the time. Yeah. Oh, just like, subways.
Were you in Toronto on business or pleasure?
I take a lot of pleasure in my business.
Excellent. You are the most interesting man in the world.
I was there for TCAF, the Toronto Comic Arts Festival.
Awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, so seriously, he calls you, you freak out a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, were you worried that a character you don't really know, that you would be able to write him saving the Marvel Universe?
Oh, yes, I do believe I am a good writer, so I didn't...
Great
I didn't,
answer.
I figured I'd be able to do it, I guess. Yes, the first issue was due very soon. I think he called me in May and comes out tomorrow, but the thing is it's coming out, like, the four issues are coming out every other week.
Okay. Yeah.
Which I'm not sure. Is that a move to trick retailers into ordering all of them before they can see how the first one sells?
No, it's a trick they do for the books that they love the most.
Oh, that's good. That's a good trick.
Well, they don't want to spoil it because such huge things happen.
Sure.
Yeah.
They didn't know that. They scouted it before I was hired.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, don't reveal that.
Yeah. No, you guys like to know how the sausage is made, right?
What sausage?
Yeah. Yeah. How much sausage do you get when you buy an issue of Longshot Saves the Marvel Universe?
You mean how many pages of comic is in it?
No, I mean literally. Is there
the
free sausage?
The number of kielbasa.
Yeah.
The only jobs that Alex takes is when he's offered sausage.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
That's how they got me to write that Dazzler story. Yeah,
stop talking about that, please.
Here's the thing. Pete and Alex are friends, and Pete hates Alex's work so much that he doesn't even want to hear it said, the fact that it happened.
So you have a couple of other things going on other than this. You started a Kickstarter for a Dr. McNinja card game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad that's popular. I got contacted by somebody,
Do you do anything?
Yeah. Do you do anything?
Do you wait for the phone to ring?
Do I take initiative? Sure. Sometimes. But, you know, sometimes opportunity comes your way. And that's just how things have played out this year. So this gentleman contacted me. He said, I've designed this card game.
It's called poker. I think it's going to catch on.
It was a cowboy shooting game. That's a great way to describe it.
They're shooting cowboys?
Yeah.
Everyone loves cowboys.
That's what he said. He said, you know what? This might be more fun if we adapted this to Dr. McNinja. And he sent me the prototype with the cowboys.
I'm sorry. So he was making a game where you shoot cowboys. Cowboys shoot each other with cards. And he got about halfway through, decided it wasn't really working.
He realized that Young Guns wasn't going to catch on again. The movie Young Guns was over.
So instead he said, you know what? This comic about a ninja doctor would work a lot better.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. That's actually how they made all of the Die Hards.
Yep. That's true. Those movies all start.
I was not contacted about a single Die Hard movie.
Really?
No, I think you're wrong there.
Surely we've all been contacted about one.
I wrote an 8-page story where John McClane went on a date with Dazzler.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. But it was just for me, and I paid myself in sausages.
That I would see.
Yeah. So yourself. What's going on with the card game? It's up for you put it on Kickstarter at this point?
Right, yeah. So we worked on the game together for 2 years. Turns out a lot of the work was not done yet. Most of that was me doing artwork for it and playtesting it and adjusting and stuff like that. And then we put it on Kickstarter just to kind of cover the printing costs because it's done, which were about, I think, $15,000 to print the game and just to get enough orders to then go sell it later. And before I came here, it was at, I think, $54,000.
So that's much higher.
That's much more money than we needed.
You're rolling around in cash right now.
I am not yet. I might eventually.
What do you do with that bonus cash?
Yeah, I imagine you guys have added a couple of stretches.
You're going to invest in Clumsy in Love. Oh. You're my first investor.
Yep, great.
Executive producing.
Clumsy in Love.
Produced by Cowboy Card Games Incorporated.
I believe they're actually called Killer Robot.
Oh.
That's because Killer Robots make cowboy card games.
Sure. Yeah. This all is making a lot of sense.
Cross-genre.
It's the world I live in.
Yeah. So what are the stretch goals?
Oh, yeah. So a lot of the earlier stretch goals were just like, we'll print it on nicer paper. We'll add some new characters to the game. But like we kind of demolished those really quickly. So we had a conversation yesterday about coming up with some crazier stretch goals.
We'll deliver your groceries.
Yeah, like, we'll deliver your groceries. I just repeated what you said. hold on, let's see. All right, so we're going to make a Dr. McNinja figurine that all backers will get if it reaches a certain point. I don't remember the levels, but like he priced it out. And he's like, oh, yeah, it'll cost this much to make this figurine. And so if we make this much money, we can just give one to everybody, which is,
that's,
I think, a very successful Kickstarter strategy is whenever everybody is sort of getting together to make the product better for everyone instead of just rewarding higher backers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
If it gets to another level, I will do a like a 20-ish page standalone Dr. McNinja comic that I'll give like a PDF to all the backers for.
Wow. Very cool.
I think they're doing like giant size collector's cards. Yeah, but it's just kind of scrambling to come up with things to give to people as they pour money on us.
What if you
it's just like the holidays?
Like if you make another $2 million, you'll do a sequel to the Veronica Mars movie.
Yeah, sure.
A sequel. Wow, that's a ballsy move. I'll handle this.
Just a
suggestion. Or maybe if you reach a certain point, like your life will just be better.
Mm. Yeah, I'd be cool with that. Well, that's the thing. It's like, yes, if we get to the point where like there's enough money raised where we hit the goal for me to write another comic, I'm like, yeah, I'll do that work because my life is so much better.
Yeah.
And you know, I feel guilty about not working for that.
Cool.
That's the spirit.
Great. So Longshot Saves the Marvel Universe on comic book stands tomorrow from Marvel Comics.
Yes.
And you can check out the Kickstarter at kickstarter.com.
That is the website.
Cool. Anything else you want to plug?
I am the artist for the Gallagher comic at shiftylook.com, and that's written by Ryan North of Dinosaur Comics and Adventure Time Comics.
Man, I love his work on Adventure Time.
Yeah, he's great.
Amazing.
Yeah. Have you read his Choose Your Own Adventure Hamlet book?
I have not.
No, but I heard it's awesome.
That's great, yeah. I did an illustration for that. One of the many ways you die. that book's called To Be or Not to Be.
Amazing.
That's awesome. And where can people check out more about you?
Christopher-Hastings.com.
Dash?
Couldn't get it with that.
All right.
DrMcNinja.com. Who cares?
Wow.
Just Google that guy.
Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call The Stack.
Yeah.
And in The Stack, we're going to talk about some comic books that came out this week that we particularly liked. And go to bat for them. First one we're going to talk about, this is a bit of a controversial choice from Pete LePage.
Yep.
Not a lot of people have been reading this book or liking it. But Saga, number 15.
Yeah.
From Image Comics.
Who's that by? Brain. Now,
Brain K. Vane.
Brain K. Vane. Yeah. An undiscovered
and
author.
This other name, the artist, Fiona Staples, seems like it's made up. It could be like Fiona Cover, Fiona Pages.
Yeah, exactly.
Pages.
That's a pseudonym.
She was probably just looking at things and just naming herself.
Yeah, exactly.
She was probably watching Shrek at the time while wow. she was stapling the comic book.
Maybe.
You have a great working knowledge of Shrek. Okay, Pete, please carry on with your review of the comic.
Well, this continues to be an amazing comic.
Yep.
The last page was kind of a shocker.
You could say that about literally any issue.
Almost every issue, and yep. it continues.
Did you
in
read
this
one, Pete?
Yep. Yep.
Seems like a real phoned-in choice.
Oh, wow.
There are a lot of characters in this
yeah,
issue.
There's a lot of characters. Somer, yeah, in trouble. Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. I love the direction of this. I'm a little nervous about one of my favorite characters maybe being in serious trouble.
Don't keep it a secret. Tell us what's
well,
going
do
on.
I spoil it? I
mean, yeah, sure. Okay, yeah. Let's talk about the specifics of this issue. Yeah.
So the guy who owns...
Wait, can we give very brief background for those of you who actually aren't reading the series and you really should?
Yeah.
But this couple has a baby. They're on the run through the universe. Lots of forces are chasing them who want to not just stop them and not just take back the baby, but find out why they got together. Because it's this Romeo and Juliet story. Nobody understands why they're actually together. The thing that's so cool about this issue in particular is we continue to develop the villains as well as the heroes. Nobody is as clear-cut.
Almost
as
more
bad
the
guy
villains,
could get.
At yeah. least late, the last arc has
totally.
Been...
And right now, our heroes are taking a little bit of a break at the lighthouse that their favorite novelist lives in. And I love his character.
He's great.
He's great.
Yeah. And their favorite novelist, I forgot his name, actually, but he wrote the book that sort of brought them together and first connected them in their relationship. And it's great that the way he's interacting with them. And I feel like there's a romance developing.
Yeah, I was
here.
Talking about with somebody about this yesterday. And one of the characters' mother...
Yeah.
Her father just died. Her mother's newly single, dealing with these new circumstances. She sits down and is playing with a game with this author character.
Pictionary
and immediately,
style.
You just start to ship them. You're like, oh, I want them to get together. They're so cute together.
They're so good at Pictionary, which is hard.
Have you been reading this book?
Yeah. I had no idea people didn't like it. This is the first I've heard that it's not popular.
Oh no, we're joking.
Oh,
we
good.
Were being,
yeah. Everyone loves this.
It's wildly powerful.
Oh, good. That's good.
Oh, you were so worried.
I was. I love it. So I didn't want bad things to happen.
It's amazing.
To it.
No, it's very good.
Oh, good.
I'm more upset that the owner of Lyrecat just got stabbed. I mean, that was heartbreaking to me.
Yeah,
I think you don't know his name. You just call him the owner
Will.
Of Lyrecat.
So this assassin. I guess.
Bounty hunter. Mercenary.
Bounty hunter, mercenary, you
yeah.
could say.
Guy named The Will has been traveling across the galaxy trying to find this couple. He's been waylaid on a planet with a princess and a pedo prostitute? Is that?
Yep.
Oh, well, that's yep. a weird way to say it.
True, but it's true.
Yeah, I guess.
And they all get hepped up on psychedelic berries and start trying to kill each other.
Just, sure. yeah, psychedelic, all foods.
Right,
and
which
that's...
seems like it would be overly complicated and not make a lot of sense, but... This is also one of the clearest comic books that's currently being published.
It's written very cleanly, and it's so smart. It's like a great sort of television show. It reminds me of, like, Firefly in a lot of ways. The way all the characters are so cleanly developed, and their dialogue is great. It's just very wonderful. And at the end, the art especially, Fiona Staples' work in the last part has
hey,
sort
Fiona.
Of a... Whole, huh?
No,
has sort of
a
horror.
Shrek.
Oh, you're doing a Shrek thing? Okay, yeah. cool. That's great. People love that movie that's 10 years old? 15?
Yeah.
Whatever. Is the back bit where it turns into sort of a little bit of a horror feel is awesome. I feel like she just slides that horror feel into it. It's really great.
Yeah. It's cool. Let's move on with our next pick.
This we all love that.
Yes. Yep.
Justin's pick, Battle of the Atom, number 2 from Marvel Comics.
Bringing yeah. to a close, medium applause, bringing to a close the great Battle of the Atom crossover. And this has been a huge, there's been X-Men from the future.
Yeah, this is a crazy.
Multiple.
So there's a lot of X-Men. A
lot yep. of X-Men.
And they're all fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And they're fighting in a place where there's a lot of X-Men weird. History here. And there's even a moment in here where it's like some X-Men will die. And then we learn by the end of it that the X-Men that die are very close to our hearts, future Colossus and future Jubilee.
Yeah.
Yep.
Characters that will never...
Literally 2 issues prior.
And we would will never see again.
And if they cease to exist, that's okay, because there's lots of different futures what, in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah. What really bothered me about this issue was just the the kind of open wounds and all the jabs going on. I mean, the shot at, you know, Storm's marriage, and then it was like, hey, just remember, you know, it was like, this isn't our, you know, he's like, she was never yours. It was just like crazy. Like,
well, here's what frustrates me about this, as a crossover, it was a great crossover. The first, I would say, six issues were really strong. I thought established a lot of things that I thought we were all into, all these X-Men from all different, future, current, the past, all interacting, very interesting. And then everyone sort of just sat around for a while. And then to have this be the culmination where we have most of the X-Men just being most of them vanishing. Like it felt like so much story was built up, and it ends up just drying out. And the art, I feel like, what's that?
I think we could all agree it needed some sort of central villain.
Oh boy,
some sort
stop
of
with the,
I don't know, sharp guy.
Oh God,
some sort of
it.
Strife, if you will.
Yeah.
Why do you
to it?
Some I like to
of,
think that
don't encourage him.
Strife was maybe behind the whole thing, pulling the strings.
Yep.
Here's the thing. Jean Grey, future Jean Grey, dies in this issue, and I feel like it was supposed to be a momentous event, and it felt so thin and cheap to me. Zorn.
I will say, on the insult thing, though, Jason Aaron wrote the majority of this issue. Nobody writes X-Men characters insulting each other at, like,
Jesus.
Their very heart like Jason
it
Aaron.
He's
crazy.
A singer.
Yeah.
There's that moment. This is one of my favorite moments of all time in, I think, any X-Men comic.
Whoa.
In the last issue or second to last issue of Schism, where it's been building up to this fight between Wolverine and Cyclops, and they're fighting about, should we bring kids to battle? Should we not bring kids to battle? What should we do? And this is, it seems like that's what the fight is supposed to be about. And then, I think, is it Cyclops says... Cyclops says to Wolverine, she never loved you.
Yeah.
Just out of nowhere.
That was,
and then they start
crazy.
Beating the shit out of each other.
And I love that because that seems very real to me. And there were a couple good zingers in here like that. But in general, I felt like this crossover ended on such a low note. Even the art degraded in this issue. I felt like it was just sort of rushed.
Sure. I think they were trying to do a little bit of an art jam, I think.
I didn't think it worked.
And then the fact
this great Sentinel splash page was cool.
And then it was heartbreaking, the fact that Kitty Pryde's going to the bad guys. It was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
But for that to be the big revelation at the end of this huge crossover is just like, oh, she's just briefly switching teams for a while? I was like, what?
What are you talking about, briefly switching teams? Like, she broke it off. She was like, fuck you, I'm out.
She's going from one team of X-Men to another team of X-Men.
That's
it's like
it
it's like her
all.
Going on a football team from like one side of the field to the other side of the field.
That's a big deal in football.
No. It's like
I don't think
from,
you understand how football
from
works.
Tight end to running
like
back.
Like if a football player on one team suddenly left that team in the middle of the game,
I'm not even saying switching teams.
Team.
I'm saying switching sides. Like you know, often when. Yeah, switching positions. I'm saying
good
when,
sports metaphor.
Yeah. What the fuck are we doing?
I just.
Why are we trying to describe sports?
Remember when I said tight end?
No, I don't remember
it's
that.
It's a football term.
Maybe we could do something with, like, cakes. I feel like we understand cakes.
Okay, cool. Oh, it's like when someone goes from a birthday cake to another cake.
You couldn't think
that
of one
like
more
a great
cake?
Party.
Wedding cake?
Where are they going where they got all these cakes?
Yeah. Hey, guys, I'm hungry.
I have a birthday wedding after this. You should come. There's going to be a lot of fucking cakes.
How old is the couple?
They're both turning 40 at the same day. They're getting married.
God.
Oh, they're miserable.
I disagree with you. I thought it was a. I just felt like it was so much shit in this one issue that they then be like, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm out. You know, Kitty Pryde just being like, fuck you, I'm out. I was just like, it was too much.
But I just feel like she just went from, it's like.
No, I got like, your bullshit.
It's
no,
like, Mom, Dad, I'm moving out. I'm moving into the basement. You'll never see me down there.
No, that's not what she did.
So, worthy of the X-Men's 50th anniversary?
What? No. What? Are we celebrating that?
That's what the
name is. We should get a cake.
All right, last pick. This is my pick. Blood Brothers, number 3 from Dark Horse Comics. Now, I talked about this comic before. It's fine. None of you are reading it. That's cool. So the whole idea of this comic is two vampire buddies, they've lived for, I think, 1,000 years at this point, end up in a situation where one of them has fallen in love with a girl, he wants to be human again, but they're also embroiled in this plot to create kind of an uber vampire that's going to rule the world. The thing that makes it so great are two things. One, the art from Evan Shaner is fantastic. Nice, yeah, clear, perfectly matches the tone of the book, which sort of effortlessly mixes action and comedy.
I can't believe you're reading this off a piece of paper.
Yeah, seriously. Did you write this down ahead of time? Did you memorize
weeks
this?
Weeks ago. Weeks
have
ago.
Have you been practicing
so,
this?
This is a great
Do you
book.
Have, like, an upcoming
it's
deal with these guys?
No,
is that why you're...
He's doing. It's where, a monologue.
Are you writing the next book that they're doing? Like, what's going on?
We're actually working on a sequel to Clubs You Love for Boothman over there. So
I look forward to it. Wait, what's your other the other point that you
No, no, that was actually... It was 2 points at one point.
Oh.
What?
I this book is really good. It, I think, ended with this third issue, which I'm a little sad about. I was looking forward to it going further, and I hope it does get
it sort of sets up
or something.
Some more.
Yeah, it does. But I thought that was great.
I really liked this, not this particular issue, but this series, and I agree with what you're saying. I feel like they do a great job of matching humor and art, and what a cool take on the whole you know, vampires thing. But what upset me was the son was making this big deal to be like, Dad, listen, I'm really standing up for something finally. And the dad's like, yeah, you've been a pansy your whole life. It's nice that you're making a choice. Then he's like, okay, I'm going to be human. That's a huge deal. I don't want to be a vampire. So then he's human for like 2 seconds, then gets bit, and then his dad dies for no fucking reason whatsoever.
Yeah, I kind of like that.
Yeah.
It's life, man.
It emphasized the comedy of the situation.
Life.
It was just,
that's
it
life.
Played off all of these epic vampire things of, should I be a human? Should I be a vampire? And then it doesn't really matter. It just turns around a couple of pages.
To me, just like life.
Just like life.
Just like life.
I was a vampire 4 times today, and I'm a human. Like, I hear you. This book to me read like the most derivative Buffy the Vampire Slayer shit that I've ever seen.
I didn't feel that.
It's so much like all the characters are in the middle of this huge action sequence, and they're so quippy and so just like
but
over
the
it.
The text doesn't read anything like Joss Whedon.
That's true.
At all.
To me, it read like some real quippy people who are just like, yeah, this is all fucked up, but well,
like
check
a,
your hair.
Like a bunch
or
of people that are in some sort of thing where they should have some sort of sense of urgency to get through that thing, but instead they're sitting there quipping the entire time.
Yeah, that's what I'm
that
saying.
That sort of thing?
Yeah, yeah. Weird.
Huh. Wait, are you talking about...
He's talking about us.
What?
Yeah, he is.
How dare you?
What's
what
the
sense
of urgency?
Yeah. But, one of us, this room reveal. Is full of vampires. This is like some From Dusk Till Dawn shit.
Full of vampires.
Oh, that explains the decor.
Yep.
Yeah, by the way, if you're listening
Happy
at home, this place is still covered in ghosts.
And let me be honest, even without all the Halloween shit, this place looks like the bar in From Dusk Till Dawn. I've always thought that and never said it.
And Danny Trejo is just hanging out. It's weird.
I wish.
You both?
It's Danny DeVito. It's Cheech Marin. God, get the fuck out.
I said
out.
Danny Trejo.
Oh, Trejo. Okay.
Fuck you.
I thought you said DeVito. Danny Trejo.
I like
awesome.
How you
I'm
have
sorry,
heard what he said
Danny's
and you
apart.
Still attacked him.
Well,
did you say something about Danny somebody? Fuck you, man.
How many Dannys are there? Two.
There's
Trejo and DeVito.
Isn't there Daniel Webster? Isn't that someone?
No.
Daniel Webster? You're making that up.
Sorry.
I think he made a
Daniel
dictionary.
Stern. Daniel Stern, fuck you.
Who is that?
No. That's not a person.
Home Alone. One of the Wet Bandits.
Yeah, Daniel Craig.
No, Daniel Craig Way. Is actually Danny Trejo in disguise.
Because he's
in a very
Danny Glover. It's a lot of Dan.
Yeah.
There's a lot.
Danny Glover is not Daniel. He's Danny.
Danny Radcliffe.
Daniel.
Danny
Glover.
Yeah. How well do you know him?
They're all made up.
Great, guys. You guys know so
no
many Dannys.
Real. That's life, guys.
Congratulations.
That's life.
Let's move on to our next section, which we call How Many Dannys Do You Know?
Yeah.
Exactly. Let's invite all of our great Danny guests.
You know what? Let's actually really move on to my favorite section, because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. For that, we're going to go over to the star of Clubs You Love, Boothman.
Boothman.
Hooray.
Yeah, let's get those.
Just so you know, guys, we got extra prizes today. And
oh, yeah, courtesy
Chris's
courtesy.
Favorite prize,
wait,
you get to win.
Prize.
Or his favorite question, you get the Pac-Man game you can play at home that has 12 classic games in it.
Yeah. What?
Finally, a Pac-Man game you can play at home.
Yeah, exactly.
Play at home. You can plug it right into your television.
You don't need a console. I don't have to go to the pizza parlor.
Yeah. Waste all that money at the pizza parlor.
Let's get the first question, please, Boothman.
What do you think is in, am I right in what I'm saying, Otto Spidey's iPod? What's in Otto Spidey's iPod?
Oh, okay. What music does
Spider-Webs?
Oh, what is Dick no Spider-Man
probably
listen to?
Blinded Me with Science?
I feel like he'd probably like to listen to some obscure rip off of a vinyl, like some classical like concert. He's like, oh no, the Baltimore Symphonic did it best in 94. Clods.
I feel like he listens to the Flight of the Valkyries on repeat. Just like some real epic shit.
Yeah. Pete?
I'm going to go with NSYNC.
Why would you choose that?
I don't know.
NSYNC, you think because that's fresh to Otto?
Yeah.
Octavius?
That's fresh.
How does it feel putting yourself in the head of Otto Spider-Man?
I hated it. That's why.
You were just there though, right?
No.
Maybe he listens to Walk This Way because you got the Aerosmith and the Run DMC. There's two things going on at the same time.
Ooh.
That was actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
It was well justified.
Thank you very much.
I feel like he would really want to try to connect with like the music that Peter Parker would like.
Right.
Like Third Eye Blind. Probably.
You think so? Third Eye Blind?
Yeah. What music?
Never
mind. Raise your hands if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
Yeah, all right.
What do you think is the most important comic, you know, and that can be series, issue, miniseries, graphic novel, whatever, published in the last 13 years? 2000 onward.
Right. This
the most important?
Pre and post 9/11.
This millennium, yeah. Oh, okay. Cool off a little bit. I think this millennium works a little bit better.
Willennium? Or
yeah, it's Willennium. It's the Willennium.
I consider this to be the first real Willennium that we've ever been a part of.
Well, what do you guys think?
The most important comic?
Most important. I mean, I guess we could start with what are some important comic books?
Did any recent comics get made into, like, a big movie or something?
Is that what is important
to
you, Chris?
Let's be real. What makes an important comic?
Listen to you.
Kick-Ass would be that. I mean, that got turned into a...
I wouldn't call Kick-Ass an important comic.
No, but I mean,
call
if we're talking...
a good movie
if the...
Well, okay. I mean, something like Mouse is probably an important comic
book. Yes, but I can't think of any from the millennium. I can think of good comics. Like,
what?
Like, I can think of good comics, like, you know, Fables.
Fables, yeah, good. Very good.
Why the Last Man is good.
Why the Last Man.
Lock and Key.
Locking.
Yeah. Very good.
But I don't know, no insult to any of them. I don't know
maybe
if they
Walking
be good,
Dead?
They're important.
Walking Dead.
That's a good one.
I think there's an argument to be made for that being important just because...
Culturally important?
Culturally important. People are buying comic books if you want to consider it important to the comic book industry.
Yeah.
I mean, the seriousness not just comic book fans take The Walking Dead.
Yep.
But the
Will Smith is a big fan of Walking Dead.
Yeah, he is.
You know, and this is the
Was there a comic book of After Earth?
I don't probably. Think so. What about if there was, it was hastily unpublished.
Yeah, what about 8 pounds? 8.5 pounds or whatever it was.
I mean, I guys, know. You're thinking...
8 or 9 pounds. 7.5 pounds? Yeah. Is that what it was?
Oh, wait. It was that comic about the woman who goes back in time to try and stop the Twin Towers bombing and discovers that it was an inside job.
Oh, Rick Veitch's comic?
I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. There is.
It does.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, it actually is pretty good.
You think it's good?
Well.
Uh-oh.
I might.
No, I think it's funny because they keep making these references that, like, it's all a scheme by Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
You think that's good?
He's like, yeah.
Well, okay. I will say it's tough for me to parse with Rick Veitch sometimes whether he's being ridiculously over the top satire or serious about
something.
Oh, if
it was on purpose, then yeah, I'll immediately say it's good.
Yeah.
But I thought it was just poorly thought out, like conspiracy theory.
I
think he was playing off of truther theories. As far as I've read, he kind of is interested and intrigued by truther theories. and so was coming out with this comic book to show, hey, here's what Truth or Fear is.
I'm learning a lot about what I thought was just a laughably bad comic.
Yeah, you guys are having pretty, like,
can
intense...
I get back to the question a little bit?
So I guess we can agree that's the most important comic.
There you go.
We can, I don't want to stop that.
This is the most important discussion in the millennium.
I was going to say Umbrella Academy. Just because there was a guy who people made fun of because he was in a band, and people were like, what the fuck does he know about writing comics? And then...
I'm sorry. People made fun of Gerard Way for being in a band.
Well, I feel like people discredited his writing ability, even though that, like... I feel like he did a great job of really writing an amazing comic that
it is
blew
great.
People away.
I'm sorry. I'm just imagining Gerard Way getting bullied by comic book fans.
I don't think he got bullied. But
hey, Rockstar, get over here.
No, leave me alone.
Pull your pants down.
Whatever. I'm going to write my comic book.
I don't know if that would be considered important, but...
Right. It's a really good comic.
Well, what do you guys think? Do you guys have any ideas? Important comic book of the millennium?
Before Watchmen, because it's with Watchmen, which is supposedly the best comic ever made.
Interesting, yeah, and it did happen before that.
Actually, that is a pretty quote-unquote important comic because it brought up all these questions of how to touch, you know, great works that were developed a long time ago.
That the author does not want you to touch.
Yeah, but he doesn't want anyone to breathe on any of his stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Ever.
But, I mean, that's why it makes it such an interesting discussion.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
I hope there's Before Watchmen the movies.
That'd be great.
Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question. Oh, there are no more questions. So.
Oh, boy, there's some prizes.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Oh, boy,
so
do we have some
of those
prizes.
Two questions, what was your favorite question, Chris?
That's a tough one.
I think the second question had a lot more discussion off of it.
What?
The second question.
The second question.
So, second question, you're going to get a Pac-Man toy. Yay! First question, raise your head. It was you, sir. You are going to win two tickets to Tours for Fun. Tours for Fun is tours around New York City. They sponsor this section, which is pretty cool of them. And you get to see sites where Spider-Man was filmed and Daredevil was performed and Fantastic Four was enacted and things like that.
All the great stage presentations of the Fantastic Four.
There you go. Did you guys hear that Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart are doing X-Men live on Broadway?
I know that they are good friends.
Yep.
Yes.
And I feel like they're up to all sorts of scams in New York City, so that could be definitely one of them.
There you go. Cool. Yes.
I was going to say, is that something where you just have to randomly show up in a theater at the right night and they're like, ladies and gentlemen, we have a great surprise for you tonight.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we're canceling this production of Wicked. Yeah. And here comes Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen.
You know, they're actually doing a Broadway show, right? They're doing a joint repertory of two Godot plays.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that is true.
So right.
Yeah,
so but initially you
said X-Men Live.
No, I know, but I'm saying I don't think they would need to cancel a performance of Wicked
to do
their show.
They totally should.
Ladies and gentlemen, across town we're doing our own show, but we're going to cancel Wicked for the night.
Charles.
There you go.
Can you do the other accent? Can you do
Patrick Stewart's? Magneto.
Well, God, did you just ask Alex to do an accent?
No, I asked Chris, and then a robot monster came out of Alex's mouth.
I can't tell that all.
Really what, looking forward to happened? Days of Future Past, you guys. That's it for your audience question. Thank you, Booth Van.
Woo-woo.
Half-hearted applause for that. I like it. Let's move on to our next section, which we like to call The Week in Geek.
Yeah.
Oh, boy,
and
here it comes.
In The Week in Geek, we're going to talk about various geek culture topics, things that are happening elsewhere in the world of geek, mostly movies and TV stuff, if we're being honest with ourselves. First thing to talk about, new episode of Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah.
This week. So, have you been watching Walking Dead, Chris?
Nope.
All right.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Cool. Please break your microphone in half.
So, what do you guys think? In this episode, Rick and Carol went on a lovely drive.
Oh,
Everybody else went to find some
shit
drugs.
Town.
Shit yeah. town. What'd you guys think?
Did anybody think that was really kind of, I mean, I saw it coming. I was like, oh, this is the classic, you know, hey, we're going to go on a trip together that really isn't a trip. It's just more about like dropping you off at the, you know, the store and never coming back. But
yeah,
like,
I kind of like that though. I feel like it was very clear to both of them what was going on, and something that The Walking Dead has not done particularly well is subtext.
Yeah.
So that Rick and Carol, Rick said, "Hey, you want to go on a drive?" And Carol, you could see in her eyes, knew it wasn't just a drive.
Right.
But they didn't say anything about it.
It was like when your family is like, "Oh, we got to get rid of this cat." And then you get the cat and you put it in the
car
and you
drive
it. Who
talks like that?
Huh?
Who says we got to get rid of this cat?
If you have a cat that just, like, is not cool.
But first off, how does Rick go from, like, I'm just going to farm, fuck all you guys, to all of a sudden in charge of everything again in, like, a second?
Didn't you see 2 episodes ago he burned his shirt?
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that.
That was his farming shirt. Yeah, and let me just say, now, like, jokes
aside. Yeah, he
aside,
put his holster back on. He's...
Jokes aside, this season of Walking Dead has been so much better than everyone before by so much.
It's like a grown-up TV show.
I know. It's like, but this show grew up literally 4 weeks
What's
ago.
He going to say when he gets back? Is he going to tell the truth or is he going to be a bitch about it?
I guess we'll
of
see.
Of course he's going to tell the truth, and it's great because...
What do you mean, of course he's going to tell the truth?
He's going to. He has to deal with the issue. He has to talk about how Carol killed those people, and he has to... It's going to be fucking
everything
up. She
didn't kill him. She was just like, you guys are going to die. I'm going to burn you.
She killed them. If I look like I'm sick, please don't burn me.
What?
Because that's what they look. They look sick, and she was like, time to burn.
When you're... coughing crazy amounts of blood, that's like, hey.
I cough up weird stuff all the time. Blood, pennies, toys I used to have. Yeah, it happens. It doesn't mean I'm dying.
Blood,
look, I'm healthy.
Pennies.
All right, man.
Everything that tastes like blood. That's interesting.
I eat so many pennies.
I'm just saying, if we're in a zombie apocalypse, I'm going to burn you first chance I get.
You say if all the time, and then someday you're going to walk in here and be like, I saw a zombie outside. Bang, bang, bang.
Anyway,
and I'm worried.
I agree.
And I'm
very
worried.
Good season so far. Definitely resurgent, if you will.
And it's just all the characters I feel like are really popping, and it's just
that
really well.
Didn't bother you guys that Rick just took that upon himself, didn't want to talk to anybody?
No, that's what Rick does.
And Rick
that's
had Rick. To do that because with everyone else gone, it's the only time when this is he can handle it.
Quick comic book thing. Do you guys think Rick having a hurt hand that's all wrapped up, is that a little bit of a shout-out to the fans with Rick having his hand cut off in the comics?
Yeah.
No,
or am I
think
reading
he just
too much
his
into
hand.
That?
I think he just heard
I immediately
hand.
Thought of that when I saw that, though.
Yeah, Pete and I agree.
I was like, just chop it off, buddy. Just chop it off.
No.
You're going to lose it anyway. It's only a matter of time.
No. Yeah, the second you hurt your head, just chop it off.
Chop it off.
And
you got a sprain?
Let
chop
me be honest.
Off.
Pete's
no,
a horrible
nail,
doctor.
Hang nail? Yeah, Pete's terrible when he's cleaning his nails. I will say, even in the comics, whenever I see Rick's non-hand, I'm like, just draw the hand back in. Like, let's forget that whole shit happened.
What?
I just wish he had both hands in the comic.
What?
Because I just don't like.
You
it's
want
just like,
some sort of Chuck-a-Buck situation?
it just seems like something that was a big scare moment in one arc in Walking Dead, and now he just still has no hand. I'm like, just put that
back. Well, weird. This zombie plague has made hands grow back.
Yeah. You can't just grow a hand back.
No, I know you can't, but I would rather see him with both hands because the story is not
what.
About is now. Never about him having
that
one
would
hand.
Be an amazing issue though if he's like, oh, it's really itchy under my bandages, and he wraps
and
it up
just
and
went,
oh,
hand.
That's ridiculous.
And he's got a hand back.
That
I want to see
be
it.
Great.
Make it happen.
I would stop
man.
Reading the comic.
Okay, next thing to talk about, guys. I got to see Thor 2 this week.
Here we go. With Alex's,
right.
Alex's fuck around corner.
Right.
Go.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to mention
this
because I talked to Pete before the show.
Right.
And I said, hey, I saw Thor 2. Should I talk about it? And Pete said, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I said, are you guys going to do the typical thing where I say, hey, I'll talk about Thor 2. Do you guys have any questions? And then you don't have any questions and you just kind of stare at me. And then it's a really awkward section.
We didn't stare at you.
Pete said,
we
no.
We didn't stare at you. We turned our backs
oh,
to you
right.
out of jealousy and yeah. anger.
Cool. Yeah. Well, what do you guys want to know about Thor 2?
Okay.
Is it a sequel?
Yes.
Okay, good. That's all I have.
All right.
Great.
Does Thor save the day?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is the movie good?
So our next topic.
Wait, I'll
tell you. I think the first half of the movie is a bit of a mess.
You always say that shit.
Did you?
Why do you divide movies into halves?
Well, let's wait
it's
a second.
It's not a half situation.
Let's wait a second.
There's no blank in the movie.
Let me ask you this. You remember, the first 5 minutes of the first Thor movie where they were describing all the epic battles that went on with ice giants and Odin and the Asgardians, and it was a huge, boring mess and confusing for the first 5 minutes?
Nope.
that's most
expand that to like 45 minutes.
Well,
are
let me
you
ask
serious?
You, Thor, the original Thor, by your own leave, is your favorite.
It's my favorite Marvel movie.
Which is stupid.
Wow. Right.
Yeah, except for those first 5 minutes.
Okay,
so the fact that the sequel.
Have you seen Iron Man, though? Like, that's really.
No, that's the thing. He's only ever
like
seen
Iron
Thor.
Man.
Oh, weird.
He likes Avengers less than Thor.
It's true.
He prefers Thor.
I don't particularly.
I really like Thor. I don't. Yeah. Avengers had moments. I was like, this is dumb.
What moment was dumb?
I don't know.
It's pretty slow at the beginning, right?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
For the first 3 to 4 hours of Avengers, it's pretty slow.
Don't get me wrong. I enjoy Avengers very, very much, but I might have enjoyed Thor more. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't know? Oh, you're backing away from your Thor opinion.
Wait.
I'm realizing like I'm speaking publicly where I don't have that strong of an opinion.
Once the movie gets past that first half hour, 45 minutes, which is an insane...
Which is most of the movie.
Right. Which is an insane block of exposition, it becomes a lot of fun.
Okay, now, is there enough hammer action?
This is one of the things that
How's Mjolnir?
Yeah. This is one of the things that I think is actually great about the movie is we haven't really gotten to see a Thor movie yet. The first Thor movie,
Wait.
We didn't have Mjolnir the entire movie,
oh,
pretty much.
Wow.
Avengers, there was not a lot of Thor in it. This one, he's Thor the entire time. He has his hammer the entire time. He's fighting the entire time, which is great.
Okay.
Loki is awesome. Sif is awesome. Heimdall is awesome. There's a lot of good stuff in it, and it builds really nicely. I will say this, though, with no spoilers whatsoever. There's a mid-credit sequence and an end-credit sequence. The end-credit sequence is pretty good. It's fun. It's kind of an essential
part of
the movie.
So you're talking about after the credits?
Yeah, there's one that happens halfway through.
Okay.
The end-credit sequence is one that I refer to.
Are the credits at the end of the movie?
Yes, the credits, yes.
Is there a scene after the opening credits?
No.
No?
No, just as
the whole thing.
The mid-credit sequence is probably the best mid credits, whatever, since what do you know about the Avengers initiative in Iron Man? That's what I'd say.
Holy
you
know,
at this point, Rocket Raccoon shows up.
Or, what?
So is this when they bring out Rocket Raccoon then?
I will say literally nothing about
it. I'm right.
You're way not. To keep a secret.
You're not.
I though. Want, eventually, I hope in the next couple of years
so you,
that all comic movies are just credit sequences. With little scenes interspersed. So I just I find out about people and what they're doing.
What they're doing.
Names,
Where's
directors, producers. Yeah, yeah. And every once in a while it's just like, hey, I'm Speedball. And then that's it.
Goodbye.
And that's it. Because I just want to see. It's like,
hey, I'm Matthew McConaughey is Speedball.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's all I want to know.
All right.
Check out the new
So orange. You're saying stay for after the credits. There is stuff.
Stay cool. For halfway through the credits.
Yeah.
By the way,
so show up like a half an hour late, and then you'll enjoy the whole thing. Is what you're saying?
And hey, guys, for those of you listening at home, anyone can name this reference that Alex is going to make one more time, real quick. Please send us an email at Comic Book Club Live. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Which one? All right.
Yeah. Please name that reference. We'll say no more.
How was the Stan Lee cameo?
Huh?
How was the Stan Lee cameo? I can't say that he was in it or
okay,
not.
Yeah. Okay.
It was fine.
His face was animated on the hammer on Mjolnir.
Oh, man.
Did not see that coming. Hey, he names it. He's getting old. This is his last.
To be honest, Stan Lee's cameo is he comes into a scene and he's like, where's my mark?
Yeah.
Is it over here? Are we done? Yeah. Oh, one take wonder.
And he gives that famous Thor line, I'm in a movie.
Another little bit about Thor. Thor, it was revealed, is going to be crossing over with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in an upcoming week.
Very cool.
Which is, I think, awesome. That's something that we've talked about with the show, sort of this Red Skies thing that I think would be so cool. And they're actually doing it. What do you think about that, Chris?
I would love for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to be good.
All right, next thing to talk about, speaking of things we wish were good, it was announced that Hugh Jackman and James Mangold might be coming back for another Wolverine movie.
Yay.
Pete, as our resident Wolverine expert, what do you think about this?
Hooray!
Not happy at all.
Still too tall?
No, I just, the
too,
last movie
too
wasn't...
Good, too good at being Wolverine?
The last movie wasn't that great, so why keep this team together?
The last movie was... Way better than the first one.
Sure.
And, did really well, economically speaking.
Oh, okay. Is that what this show is about? Well, we're all about money, or are we talking about...
Whoa!
What are we about here?
Greedy Justin. Wall Street Justin strikes
this
again.
Section,
Tyler with this three-piece Armani
suit. I don't
want
to enjoy it. I just want to know how it does at the box office. I really want to enjoy anything I pay
money
for.
Okay, cool. Then, okay, Pete, as the man of the people and the man of Wolverine, please tell us what the great faults were in the last Wolverine movie and how it's so frustrating that they're making another fucking Wolverine movie.
First off, he goes into a village full of fucking ninjas, doesn't get to fight any. That's fucking bullshit.
So maybe
are you
that'll
kidding?
Happen
that was
in the
one
next
of
movie.
The only good scenes in the entire movie.
Fuck you, it was.
That's what we call
fair point.
An impasse. Point LePage.
Yeah! That's never happened before.
I didn't mean it. It was
right,
a joke.
Since we're going to make this anyway, what do you think the next Wolverine movie should be about?
Yeah. What are the great storylines that we can tap into? Because we've seen the samurai stuff.
I'm excited about the new X-Men movie with him going being set into the past. I feel like that's pretty classic Wolverine.
In the future.
I mean, that's not this movie. And they're doing it.
Right.
I'm just happy with this already happening.
You're just happy about everything.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess a movie where...
You're happy about something else.
Yeah.
Are you happy about this movie?
Colossus
no, but I'm happy.
Has thrown him in a movie yet?
Yep.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Did they do that?
Yeah, yep. X-Men 3.
Oh, the bad one.
X-Men 3,
yeah. They did it.
That's why you don't remember it.
They should have more of that.
Here's what I particularly hate about X-Men 3. They took all of the good things and then wrecked them.
Yeah, they wrecked a lot of shit.
Very greedy
movie. I'm the Juggernaut, bitch. Hardly registered.
Yeah.
We
that should have been a whole movie.
I know.
Stretched out. They should have slowed down that line to 90 minutes.
It would have been a better movie.
I agree.
What are the other great Wolverine stories that we want to see? What are the options? What's on the table for Wolverine?
Valor's Covenant?
Not accurate.
What would be amazing that will never happen because X-Men are at Fox and everything else is at Disney? Enemy of the State.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Sort of story.
Yeah.
Where he gets brainwashed and goes after S.H.I.E.L.D. Mm-hmm. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
That would be cool. That's not on the table for this.
No.
Well, but what's a great Wolverine solo Wolverine story?
There's a graphic novel called Wolverine Havoc Meltdown that I always really liked.
And that's Wolverine and Havoc?
I think they go to Mexico, hang out for a while.
Okay, cool.
What? Yeah, Doc Ock takes over Wolverine.
What about a Wolverine where he kind of goes to Canada, hangs out with Alpha Flight a little bit?
Okay, these are all terrible.
All right, I'm going to pitch. I'm going to pitch an idea for a Wolverine movie. All right, he goes into a bar, right?
And
He's drinking. He just wants to have a drink. He just wants to be left alone.
Yeah, it's like a roadhouse, and he just parked his bike outside.
Right,
yeah.
And some guys...
He's like, oh, I hope nothing happens in here.
Some guys come in, and they start a little bit of a ruckus.
Yeah.
Behind
a
him.
Little bit, and he's like...
So far, I think this is an amazing movie.
Yeah. And he puts down his beer. You have a shot. You can see it, his beer. It's a Budweiser, because they got to get
sponsorship.
And... You see the claws start to come out, and he's like, here we go again.
Yeah.
And then he...
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's great.
He kicks the jukebox.
Right. Here's what I want to see. I want to see that great intro where he's like, oh, what's going to happen? And then next to him, the camera pans over, and it's Nicolas Cage as Ghost Rider, and he's like, don't you dare. And then his head starts to turn to fire. And then right next to him is Ed Norton as Bruce Banner. He's like, what are you guys doing here? And all of a sudden, it's a huge fuck around. And all those guys
Ben
fight
Affleck kicks
around.
Open the door as Daredevil. And is like,
as Daredevil.
I can't
and then he takes off the Daredevil mask, and he's fucking Batman.
Oh, shit.
And then they all fight.
That does sound good.
Yeah.
Like, that sounds
the name
enjoyable.
Of the movie is, oh, shit.
The name of the movie is Whoops, and it's the last movie ever made.
Yeah.
Sorry, Boothman, we're not going to make a sequel of that.
Last thing, you missed this, I think, last week, but before we wrap up the Week of Geek, it's time to turn it over to Pete and Alex's Arrow Corner.
Yeah.
This is a shared corner?
Yes, shared corner, because I started watching Arrow this season. Now, I actually got to see an advance... episode.
You son of a bitch.
You ruined Pete's Arrow.
Took his only corner.
I got to see this week's episode of Arrow, and I
got to say... So you're in a different corner.
Yeah.
Alex's Arrow corner is in the future, and Pete's Arrow corner is...
Yeah, but let me finish. So I got to see this week's episode of Arrow.
Oh, is it frustrating when people cut you off when you're trying?
That's all the time we have for the Week of Geek.
Hey, Arrow corner.
We're going to move it over to trivia, and for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
Pete LePage.
Guys, this is where we get back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. It's an opportunity to win $25 in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics, because let's face it, you would spend the money on comics. Who would like $25? Simply raise your hand. simple raising of the hand. Any of the new guys in the back want to go for it? No? Okay, Spider-Man, you come on up then.
Yeah.
We want to be fair, give new people a chance.
No,
you know what I mean?
No.
All right, cool. Awesome. All right, sir. So how this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question. Listen to all three possible answers. Get all three questions right. $25 is yours.
Cool.
Trivia's on This Week in Comics, so as long as you've read every comic that came out, you'll be fine. Here we go. Question number one. In the Trial of the Punisher number 2, which was pretty awesome, we get to see the Punisher's master plan for being captured. But who is called as a witness? Is it A, Matt Murdock, B, Microchip, or is it C, Macho Man Randy Savage?
Yeah. Great witness.
Oh, yeah. So it's either A, which is what
so
I would
say.
Yes, yes, okay. It is correct.
R.I.P. to Macho Man.
Yeah, man. Question number 2. Itty Bitty Hellboy number 3 rocks. As we all know, it is hilarious. Well, what do they eat a lot of in this issue? Is it A, barbecue, B, pancakes, or is it C, turnbuckles?
Oh.
So it's either A, barbecue, which you shouldn't pick that one, or it's B,
pancakes.
Yes, pancakes is correct.
Nice.
Last one. Kick-Ass 3 number 4. Kick-Ass has to deal with real life blank. Is it A, Civil War, B, Age of Apocalypse, or C, Cage Match?
A,
Civil War. That is correct. $25, yeah. Congratulations, sir.
Woo-woo.
Unbelievable. Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Why, thank you for asking, Alex. I'm looking forward to Batman Superman number 5.
Nice.
Greg Pak's amazing comic. I'm excited because they got a new artist on there.
Oh, because you hate Jay Lee.
No, I don't hate him. I just think that his art is amazing, but on a kind of a bigger title like Batman Superman, it's weird to see like a tripped out version of those guys.
Ah, interesting.
Cool. Yeah. Justin, what about you? What are you looking forward to?
Well, let me say thank you for asking, Alex.
Hey, anytime.
You bet. I'm looking forward to East of West number 7, the
Ooh.
Jonathan Hickman comic about the four horsemen coming to a...
You've been all about this series.
I love this series. The art's great by Mr. Nick DeGroda and written by Jonathan Hickman. And it's set in an alternate universe where the Wild West sort of took over the whole United States. And there's a lot of interesting things happening. And the four horsemen of the apocalypse have come, but it got a little fucked up. And boy, is it intense.
Great book. I'm looking forward to Ghosted. Number 5 is coming out tomorrow. This is the end of the first arc of the book.
Yes.
We had Josh Williamson, the writer, on the show a couple of
weeks
ago.
It's a great series.
Great.
This is basically a heist story, Ocean's 11, but in a haunted house where they're tasked with stealing a ghost. And it's great. It's fun. It's exciting. The characters are cool. And every issue ends with a really good twist. So if you didn't already pick it up, please do. Chris, what are you looking forward to?
Oh, thank you so much for asking.
It's like we got a politeness lesson over the course of the show.
Yeah. There's a Hawkeye hardcover coming out. That's a book that I share with everybody. And I'm like, oh, a nice, attractive hardcover for the coffee table. I think we'll do well.
Ooh. And let me say, for you guys who don't know, Chris has a great coffee table.
Thank you.
Plug your stuff. What should people check out, Chris?
Oh, and Longshot Saves the Marvel Universe comes
out tomorrow. I can't wait to see.
Of course.
Looking forward to how you pulled that off, man.
That sounds like a real dare.
How the fuck did you pull that off?
I mean, I would love to talk more about it, but...
I don't think we have the time.
Fine. Yeah.
But congratulations on voting, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I see you have a sticker.
I did it on the way here.
Yeah, I voted this morning. That's weird. You guys don't seem to have voting stickers.
I don't need a sticker to vote. I voted.
I don't use stickers either. I just tell people how I voted.
Oh, all right. What'd you guys vote on that mine thing?
No,
on mines?
No on mines.
What about casinos?
No on casinos.
Oh, okay.
That's why I voted on fun.
What about forests? Do you like forests?
Pretty into them. Yeah. I didn't realize it until today.
Is anybody worried about the whole casino thing? I'm a little nervous.
I think it would be great.
Really?
Yeah.
I would probably actually be fine if it did happen.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
Really?
It's not that
someone
big of
asked
deal.
Me to put it down on paper, and I said, well, no.
There you go.
We always end with a slightly political moment. So, hey, guys, that's New York politics for a comic book.
How do you guys feel about that comptroller?
Yeah, I know. Oh, yeah, God, the comptroller. Guys, in a couple weeks, we're going to have the new comptroller here on the show.
It's pretty exciting. And if you want to hear an hour more, I heard you. Check out Comic Book Club on NY1, where we have our full-length political show. Next week on this show, we're going to have MK Reed and Joe Flood from Cute Girl Network are going to be here.
Nice.
Hopefully they let us know how to
where they at?
Where they at?
Where they at, guys?
Where they at?
Come on.
Pete, anything you want to plug?
Yes, friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests we have on the show. Also, check out the Big City Dare to Draw.
Follow us at Comic Book Live on Twitter, and let's see if Bill de Blasio pulled it off.
Oh, I hope so. Fingers crossed. Check us out at comicbookclublive.com, nerdist.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank our fabulous interns, Ebon Bell, Tom Berdar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, Riley Trahan. We want to thank Chris for being on the show.
Yeah, Chris!
Boothman! And everybody here at Fontana's. But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We are every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. in New York, totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, everybody.